This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller with the Wade Keller Hotline for Wednesday, December 9th. I think we might finally be getting somewhere when it comes to chair shots to the head and brain trauma in general among professional wrestlers. Obviously, the NFL made waves with their decision to get aggressive when it comes to treatment of concussions. The NHL has a long way to go, I think, in this regard, just from looking at how the Minnesota Wild players locally have been treated, kind of peripherally watching it. I mean, NHL, it's a huge issue. But obviously, pro wrestling and the NFL are two occupations for the participants that would be very high risk. And I want to begin, because some people think, we're being a dead horse. Everybody knows it. Wrestlers, and I think this is a minority, but on a day like this, and I'll get into the, I'm doing this more, you know, backwards because I'm not hitting the headlines regarding Chris Nowinski and test and all that, but that's on the site. Maybe you've read it. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to begin, so maybe you, if you're one of those skeptics who thinks this is too much attention, it's too big deal, it's exceptions to the case, if you want to see how far we have to go, here's an email from a reader that I received today. And he says, I agree with WWE on this one. How could Benoit text, remember the numbers to call of various friends on the night of the incident, remember wrestling moves, he was supposed to win the ECW belt at the pay-per-view that Sunday night, find his way to the arenas, and remember to tell people what side of the house his dogs were if, quote, he had the mind of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient. I don't believe the brain damage theory. The whole wrestling moves is choreographed anyway, isn't it? And I don't want to get into all the Benoit stuff, even though I could pick that apart easily, in terms of, because in brief, the idea, if somebody has a brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer patient, what they're saying is he's got cell damage and that represents an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient. They didn't say at what stage of Alzheimer's he had. And people who have Alzheimer's come in and out of awareness at early stages, that they have good days and bad days and that type of thing. But I don't even want to break down the Benoit thing. The line that got to me when I read this email earlier today, and I'm not mentioning the reader, I don't think it's a VIP member, is the whole wrestling moves thing is choreographed anyway, isn't it? Which to me is like probably the dumbest statement I've heard this year from anybody, and sorry, whoever that is who emailed me, and if you're a VIP reader reading this, well, I'm telling you what I think. Because it was an unsigned letter from an email that wasn't familiar to me. You know, this notion that wrestling that wrestling moves being coordinated between wrestlers has anything to do with the fact that a stiff chair shot to the head or repeated flat back bumps where the head is engaging in this trauma, or I mean, just being tossed around the ring and power bombed. I mean, think about the moves that cause the brain to bounce against the skull on the inside that occur in a wrestler's career. And then think about how unnecessary so much of it is. And I think people who have been a fan of wrestling only the last 10 or 15 years don't fully grasp that it hasn't always been like this. And as bad as the 80s and 90s were in a lot of ways in terms of the health of wrestlers and how many deaths we've had from, you know, Road Warrior Hawk, Eddie Gilbert, Larry Cameron, a lot of people dying of a lot of steroid-related issues and recreational drug issues, The increase in hardcore style wrestling that started in the mid 90s and escalated to the point where everybody was trying to outdo each other. You had ECW as a major issue, and Paul Heyman's not off the hook for this. As far as, you know, the type of trauma, bumps, stiff chair shots that were going on. But this stuff was going on to a lesser degree, but also in Japan. They were at, you know, Onita's promotion and hard bumps, stiff chair shots, hardcore matches predated ECW. And if ECW had never existed, I think this would have still happened. I think there would have been this acceleration of the type of one-upsmanship with the chair shots. Mick Foley alone would have been responsible for the raising the bar of what it took to prove that you were a man, that you were for real. And it's something that Mick Foley, I don't know if he's ever going to hone up to his level of responsibility on this. His books show no self-awareness or no introspection on the fact that he glorified being beat up and hit in the head repeatedly. And what he did with those multiple chair shots to the head, with his kids at ringside and talking as if it was something to celebrate that he got thrown off a cage. When if you're playing it straight as a wrestler, you should be ashamed of the fact that you left yourself vulnerable to being thrown off the top of a cage or through the cage. It should be Undertaker who would be bragging about that. So what I'm saying is the blame is spread all around. And as I've said multiple times, when Chris Benoit had brain issues, I talked to a high-level WWE official, and I said to him, why are you allowing him, after his neck surgery, to continue to do the top rope headbutt, which Harley Race has begged other wrestlers to not do because he knows full well, decades later, after doing it for decades, what the effects are. And this executive said, well, what are we supposed to do, fine him? And I've said the story many times, but it's always stuck with me. My answer is yes, or you fire him. You are his boss, essentially, as a company, and you can make a wrestler do something or not do something. Now, that is my kind of preface rant. Let me get to today's the headlines, which you may have read on the site, which is that information was revealed that Test, Andrew Martin, had brain damage similar to Chris Benoit from a diagnosed standpoint at the time of his death. ESPN filed an extensive report on brain damage to pro athletes, focused especially on pro wrestlers, with the big news being that former WWE wrestler Andrew Test Martin had brain damage similar to Chris Benoit's at the time of his death in March. ESPN reported that the studies conducted on Martin's brain revealed that he had damage stemming from repeated blows to the head. According to Dr. Bennett Omalu, co-director of the Brain Injury Research Institute, he told ESPN that they discovered excessive amounts of tau protein similar to those he found in Benoit, which is where the Alzheimer's patients come into play. That's the type of proteins that they have, and that's why Martin's brain resembled, in terms of those proteins that degenerate the brain, it's similar to what Alzheimer's patients have, but they're twice as old as Andrew Martin or Chris Benoit were. Dr. Omalu continued, with Andrew Martin as a second case, the WWE and the sport in general have to ask themselves, is this a trend? The science tells us that jumping off 10-foot ladders and slamming people with tables and chairs is simply bad for the brain. And the timing of this could not be worse. WWE has a TLC pay-per-view on Sunday, which they are promoting, basically advertising and promising callous or naive or unaware fans that wrestlers are going to give themselves the type of brain damage that is believed, and I think it's a very reasonable belief based on the evidence, contributed greatly to the death of Chris Benoit and Andrew Test Martin. And if you look back at my editorials at the time of Benoit's death, when everybody was talking about roid rage and everybody's talking about testosterone or pills, I kept pushing hard that this probably was more of an issue of chair shots to the head and concussions. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I wasn't the only one saying it. I probably was saying it louder and more often, but we had incredible off-the-charts traffic during that time. Everybody was coming to the torch for coverage because I sat here 18 hours a day and reported everything on it. And for 2 months, it was 7 days a week, 18 hours a day covering this story. And it was maddening that the mainstream media kept losing focus on this. I would rather, obviously, have this not be an issue at all, but clearly it is. And now it seems like people are realizing blunt chair shots to the head, and it's not just chair shots to the head. Brain trauma can be caused by a lot of things that wrestlers do. At some point, if it's not the promoters who do it, and if it's not the wrestlers who do it, the family and friends of the wrestlers need to step in, or ex-wrestlers need to step in and talk about this. The promotion for the TLC pay-per-view are commercials showing brain trauma bump. One bump after another that you would, at common sense would tell you would be a high candidate to cause brain trauma. WWE has a real conundrum on their case coming into Sunday. They need to scale back what they do. They need to pick their spots. And this is the thing. Even when WWE and TNA, if and when they correct their course as far as this goes and eliminate the borderline criminal stiff chair shots to the head that they continue to endure and continue to incorporate into wrestling completely unnecessarily. Brother Ray is, I think, the worst at this, but there are others who are not that far off from him, and I think Dixie Carter should be taken to task, and Terry Taylor, and Jeff Jarrett. It's not just a Vince McMahon problem. It's not just a Stephanie McMahon issue. This is a There's so many people responsible for letting this go on, but to have this story come out on ESPN, to have the test results of Test, to have the NFL with her concussion ruling, and Chris Nowinski writing a letter about it and sending it to the Torch today, which I'll get to next, the timing couldn't be worse for WWE to be doing this TLC match, or the TLC pay-per-view. And they need to make a statement on Sunday by picking their spots. If wrestlers are taking huge bumps off of ladders, and it's clear that when they land, their head is bouncing off the mat, or if they're taking stiff unprotected chair shots to the head, or even stiff somewhat protected chair shots to the head, which Undertaker's very good at. Undertaker gets his hand up, but he does, they work out the camera angles and everything, where at regular speed you don't see it. You gotta freeze frame it and do it one frame at a time. You can see his hand come up, take probably 80% of the blunt trauma. But the problem is not everybody's gonna be as good as Undertaker at blocking that move. And a lot of young wrestlers, especially on the indie scene, are gonna see Undertaker doing that, and they're not gonna know how to protect themselves, and they're gonna emulate him, and there's gonna be wrestlers dying in 10 years who only wrestled 3 years on the indie scene. They'll never make headlines, they'll never make news, but they'll end up with lifelong problems or depression issues that comes along with these concussion issues. So many things. And we'll never hear about it. And that's just why I think it's time to put the chairs away. There is absolutely, and I think that ironically, Chris Benoit, while being a terrible example in certain ways with the top rope headbutt and stiff chair shots, was also a role model with another aspect of his style, as was Kurt Angle, ironically so with all of his issues. And that is that they got submission holds over. They got the crippler crossface over, Benoit did. Angle got over. He did, I think, on the largest scale, in the most effective way possible, the tap out to an ankle lock. It was not that common for submission holds to cause tap outs until Kurt Angle in WWE made that his signature. And there is a way to scale back what wrestlers do, but keep it really exciting. You can catapult somebody, the old catapult, into the corner turnbuckle, and they can hit their head on the turnbuckle and take a relatively safe bump off of that and get the same effect as a chair shot if you condition fans to believe that's what it takes to get hurt, because the whole key is long-term selling and consequences of these moves. And the wrestlers have the power to define what hurts and to define what doesn't. Look at Big Show's punch. Big Show's punch is not hurting anybody. He's throwing a worked punch. Wrestlers are taking a bump from the punch. Shad did a great job taking a bump, I thought, on SmackDown on Friday, Shad Gaspar. You can sell that, and it's not a stiff chair shot to the head. It's not a huge bump off of a ladder. It's not being smashed through a table, but they got it over. And you can get moves over. John Morrison got his twisting moonsault off the ropes over. Bret Hart got the sharpshooter over as a submission. There's just so many moves out there, not just submission holds, but moves that don't cause this kind of brain trauma that you can get over. It's just, again, I can't even say it enough how bad the timing is that WWE is building a pay-per-view aimed at kids, advertised with all these blunt moves, these moves that cause blunt brain trauma, and that's their marketing for the show. It's just, what a bad position and bad timing to be in. It was a bad idea to do the pay-per-view in the first place. It's exploitative of wrestlers, puts them in a position to try to one-up each other. It completely ignores and flies in the face of what we know about Chris Benoit and now Andrew Test Martin and countless other wrestlers. WWE reacted to this. And they say they have not seen the research on Benoit and Martin and cannot address the claims. But they said, well, this is a new emerging science. WWE is unaware of the veracity of these tests, be it for Chris Benoit or Andrew Martin. Of course, my thought on that is, well, yeah, then you know what? Since we can't verify the veracity, let's continue to needlessly let our independent contractor wrestlers go out there and one-up each other and set the bar so high that even somebody of sound mind who doesn't want to do that feels like they're in a position where they won't get over because this other idiot, this other self-destructive wrestler, they fall in all kinds of categories, and some of them are idiots for what they do because they should absolutely know better, and they don't care, they're living for today with all this evidence that's out there. And others are just trying to keep up, or they're not really aware of what's the full amount of it. They convince themselves they're not, or they're just wrapped up in the adrenaline rush of the moment and the peer pressure of just going along with what's been done and what they grew up watching and what the veterans in the locker room did, and they feel they need to keep up. Whatever combination of issues and attitudes it is, for WWE to just say, well, since the proof isn't in yet, you know, they sound like the tobacco industry saying, well, we're not quite convinced yet of the connection between chain smoking or pack-a-day smoking and lung cancer. We're not quite convinced of it yet, so, you know, let's not do anything about it. You know, it's just amazing that they would let that statement get out there without something that says, but we're greatly concerned for it and we're going to take even more precautionary measures than we did in the past. But they're so scared to admit any fault, and they're so scared to leave themselves open for any liability that they make these statements that come across as totally callous. And here's the extended quote. Dr. Omalu claims that Mr. Benoit had a brain that resembled an 85-year-old with Alzheimer's, which would lead one to ponder how he would have found his way to an airport, let alone been able to remember all the moves and information that's required to perform in the ring. WWE's been asking to see the research and test results in the case of Benoit for years and has not been supplied with them. The Brain Institute said they have never received a request from the WWE to see the Benoit records. Just unbelievable. I mean, for WWE to take this stand and to take it in that way, I mean, they just backed themselves into a corner where they can't even save face by doing the right thing. Now, I applaud Jim Ross. He spoke out today about this. Finally. And he said there should be no more chair shots to the head in pro wrestling in his blog today. He said, despite wrestling organizations being more educated on the potential dangers of direct blows to the head, WWE and TNA continue to utilize chair shots to the head to enhance storylines and matches. That's his quote, that they keep doing that. He said, concussions are a big issue in sports today. Let's not forget that pro wrestling, sports entertainment, or whatever the hell one wants to call it, doesn't have the franchise on this dilemma. However, chair shots to the skull should be forbidden in wrestling. Period. End of story. Bottom line. Good for Jim Ross for saying that. He also says that he was critical of wrestlers who want to accept the glory of being a star in the wrestling business without living a clean life and becoming susceptible to drug abuse as part of the, quote, wrestler lifestyle. He says, I do encourage all wrestling organizations to instill as stringent a testing program as is possible for concussions, heart issues, etc., and to monitor how many days an individual is booked for either monthly or annually. Plus, establishing a zero-tolerance policy regarding drug abuse is a gimme. Being in the wrestling business should be a privilege, not one's right. If one accepts the glory and money that one can earn as a successful wrestler in a major company, then they should have no issue being a good citizen and living a clean life. I mean, it's the right thing to say. It still strikes me as 5 or 10 years too late. I'm glad they're coming around, and I don't want to, and it doesn't do any good at this point to say I told you so on it about this type of thing. It's something that seemed obvious to people outside of the bubble of the industry 5 and 10 years ago, and I'm glad that people are coming around to it. And I think it probably helps Jim Ross to be outside of that bubble for a while like he has been. But it's just, I mean, the family members of wrestlers and the friends of wrestlers outside of the bubble need to insist on it too. I mean, I'm almost glad that TLC is Sunday because it forces WWE on Sunday to really, really carefully pick out what they allow their wrestlers to do. And Vince McMahon needs to be on this like white on rice in terms of making sure every bump is approved ahead of time and every bump means something. There are so many things on TNA and WWE in recent years that have happened that haven't been sold, where there was no follow-up on it. And it's been so inefficient and so needless, putting wrestlers at risk. And Vince Russo is among the worst when it comes to not appreciating what the wrestlers are putting themselves through and making sure that if they do something, that he books it so it means something. You know, I mean, all these thumbtacks and Jim Mitchell throwing fire in faces and no mention of it on TV afterwards, not selling it. It's people who are desperate to get bigger ratings, desperate to get bigger buy rates, or they're just numb to it, and there's just an inertia to what they do. Now, Chris Nowinski sent PW Torch a letter today that he sent to a select few media sources who are covering this issue. He thinks responsibly and have been at the forefront of really trying to draw attention to this. And here is a quote from it. He said, over 20 wrestlers have already enrolled or recently pledged to join a study where they agree to donate their brains following death to aid research of brain trauma for repeated blows to the head. These wrestlers, he says, include Rob Van Dam, Matt Morgan, Lance Storm, Ken Kennedy, Molly Holly, Tony Garea, Antonio Thomas, Don Marie, Kevin Fertig, and other big names who at this point choose to remain anonymous. Fair enough. Nowinski said in a memo that only group of professional athletes so far with a greater commitment to this research are NFL players, with over 60 current and retired players involved. There's also a lot more NFL players than WWE or TNA full-time wrestlers. Nowinski said that this is in response to Andrew Tess Martin showing signs of long-term brain damage as a result of repeated trauma to the head during his wrestling career. I think it's really important to note here that people with concussions suffer from depression. And when you are depressed, you turn towards pills to give you a high. And when you are on those pills, you get addicted to them to the point where you're taking more than your body can process. It is a sequence of events. Concussions and chair shots to the head leads to depression, leads to uppers, leads to feel-good pills, leads to pain management pills, which can lead to abuse because the brain trauma, the effects of the brain trauma doesn't go away, especially when it wasn't treated, even when there were early signs of it. That's why it's just so important to nip this in the bud early with wrestlers. And it's why you have to connect those dots and understand that, well, he didn't have to take those pain pills and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's easy to say when you're not suffering from horrible headaches and depression as a result of the brain trauma that these wrestlers go through. Nowinski is encouraging current and former pro wrestlers to consider enrolling in a Boston University study that aims to find potential risk factors and to better understand the issue and find a clinical course for drug-related treatment. He closed with this. I'd like to encourage current and former pro wrestlers to become part of the research that we expect will eventually lead to treatment and a cure for CTE. I am enrolled and will be donating my brain to help my former colleagues. I hope you'll choose to join me and over 20 other members of our fraternity in this important endeavor. Nowinski is the president of the Sports Legacy Institute. He's a former WWE wrestler. He was on Tough Enough. He was that kind of a Jack Swagger-ish character. He was an arrogant heel Harvard graduate. And he went through the program when Maven did in the first Tough Enough, trained by Al Snow. And he had to retire early due to brain concussion syndrome. He was recently quoted on an Outside the Lines report by ESPN related to NFL's handling of the concussion issue. So obviously major developments here. Also, as far as Fatu goes, Umaga goes, Dawn Marie has commented to this to ESPN saying that she's worried. And she told ESPN with a quivering voice, "Oh my God, I wonder what's going on inside my brain right now. I'm so shaken up." Regarding the death of Eddie Fatu, or Umaga, she says, "We were having fun and laughing with him in October. It's really so sad to bury so many friends. Dying young, it's almost become acceptable, which is disgusting to me. Did Eddie suffer from depression? Yes. Did he have tau in his brain? I hope they test his brain tissue to find the answer. There's an epidemic here, and we have to find out why." And by the way, last week I said that before in my initial hotline when Umaga died, and I think this drives home the point that I was trying to get at, and of course there were opportunists to seize this and took it out of context, including some competitors, and I think they should be ashamed of themselves. But I said that I was getting this feeling on Thanksgiving or in days leading up to it that it had been a while since there had been a drug death. And of a wrestler, you know, there's just an internal clock as a reporter that kind of ticks, and you just get a sense of relief that it hadn't happened yet, but it's also a feeling of dread. It's also a feeling of it's about time that something is like this is probably going to happen, because it had been a while since Test and before that Cronus, and it's sad. But it years of doing this full time and being the person who has to write the obituaries, being the person who has to do the web updates, being the person who sometimes has to pass the news on to colleagues and friends by telephone. When enough time goes by that it hasn't happened, it's a sense of relief slash dread. And I think that's what Dawn Marie's talking about here, that it's almost become acceptable. And I was trying to point out last week in my commentary, when I said it felt like it was about time that another wrestler died, how just obscene it is that in my position and my job, I can almost sense that it's about time for another one to happen based on the frequency and the pattern and the likelihood and the odds of it happening again. And anybody who listened to the full hotline and my tone absolutely got what I was saying. And again, I've only heard tangentially of at least one competitor and some people on a competitive message board just taking what I said out of context. And honestly, I hate to even give them attention, but it was kind of disgusting, because obviously the tone of my whole commentary was exactly the opposite of what these people were saying. And I just think exploiting a death of somebody opportunistically to try to take a dig at a competitor or get attention for yourself is really, really low. And I didn't want to say anything about it, but in the context here, I just think it's worth mentioning that it's time for that bullshit to stop too. Cause if there's anybody who's been at the forefront of mandating time off for wrestlers, stopping chair shots to the head, speaking out passionately and about this situation for years and years and years, including the early 90s archives of the Torches, the mid-90s archives of the Torches are up, it's me. And there are other people out there. I'm not, again, you know, this will be taken out of context and I'm patting myself on the back. What I'm saying is I'm one of the people who is sitting here saying it's about time, and anybody who says, "Oh, really? This is a problem? Well, I'm glad we have this new information." Common sense told us this was a problem 10 and 15 years ago. And it is, again, I mean, it gets me worked up, because it shouldn't be 2009 going on 2010 when, with WWE still putting out statements like they put out today. And wrestlers only now coming around to the idea that maybe a TLC pay-per-view is a bad idea. Maybe that music video is a bad idea, or the promotional video for this pay-per-view is a bad idea. And maybe concussions need to be taken more seriously. And again, I think a lot of pro wrestling defenders come out and go, oh, it's the NFL too and it's NHL too. Yeah, it is. But this is like, I think it's so immature to say, well, they're bad too, so quit picking on us. It's like, I cover pro wrestling. That's my beat. That's my job. And I care what the NFL or NHL is doing, and they should be at the forefront of this, but it's not an excuse that the NFL and NHL didn't do it. That shouldn't be a security blanket to say, we'll let wrestlers continue to do these self-destructive things because the NFL and NHL haven't taken action yet. What's wrong with being held accountable for not acting when common sense and evidence said it was the right thing to do a lot earlier? And again, what's so frustrating, my final point here is, this is not saying, oh, and wrestling's going to go out of business without this. This is improving the wrestling business for fans, for wrestlers. It'll improve revenue because you'll have fewer wrestlers dying, which hurts the wrestling industry. It scares away sponsors. It scares away fans. It scares away wrestlers who might want to, future superstars who might want to get involved in wrestling and decide they don't want to end up a statistic. And it is better because it won't hurt business because pro wrestling can define itself down. It can transition into getting submission holds over, the big show fist over, a flip move off the top rope that an Evan Bourne or John Morrison can do. Get that over. There are so many moves that a super kick from Shawn Michaels. I mean, there's so many moves that you can get over and have fans see that happen and get that adrenaline rush that a pinfall's about to come without having to have people jumping off of scaffolding and falling through tables with not enough protection to prevent brain trauma to the head. And so this is not about hurting the wrestling industry. If they cut back everything that they think could cause head trauma tomorrow, there wouldn't be any drop in the popularity of wrestling. It's wrestling promos, larger than life personalities, the drama of a story that's told in the ring, as Rock and Steve Austin showed, or Rock and Hulk Hogan showed. The biggest draws in wrestling were not doing this. Ric Flair was not taking stiff chair shots to the head as a rule in his matches. That's not how he got over. Hulk Hogan didn't get over that way. The Rock and Steve Austin were limited in what they did as far as that went. The top draws haven't done this. Even John Cena hasn't been perfect, but it's that next tier of guys down who are trying to strive to get to that higher level that have been the problem. All right, that is it for me for today. I hope WWE decides to make a real statement on Sunday and set the tone. And that it's a no, and I don't want people, I hope people don't complain about it, because there is a way to orchestrate a dynamic, fantastic TLC pay-per-view by showing off how exciting and dramatic and compelling pro wrestling can be with the incredibly talented wrestlers who are filling out Sunday's card. There's a way to show fans how great and enjoyable wrestling can be while stripping away every single table, ladder, and chair spot that can cause brain trauma to the head. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to take some effort and some work, and like I said, Vince McMahon, white on rice, approving every single bump that takes place, but there should be a huge spotlight on WWE on Sunday, and like I said, that pay-per-view should not exist, but if it's going to, I'm glad it's happening this Sunday and that it didn't happen 3 months ago or 6 months from now, because the spotlight is shining on them, and it's time for them to stop making excuses, stop saying the evidence isn't in, and do what is right for the wrestlers, and listen to the scientific evidence and don't stick their head in the ground anymore.